Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Morning. I'm going to start a new series for this month of January. That doesn't mean we are not going to continue with our Romans series, which will pick up on that again as we progress through the year. But for the next three Sundays, I'm going to be bringing a series of messages called In the Wilderness. In the Wilderness. What do I mean by that? Well, a wilderness experience is usually thought as a tough time in which a person endures discomfort and difficulties. The pleasant things of life are unable to be enjoyed, or they may be absent altogether, and we feel a lack of encouragement. In these times, we feel we are in a dry, barren, and desert place, a wilderness. And we know from statistics, the month of January, for many people, is a struggle. It's dark, it's cold, it's long. They say depression and mental health problems often peak in this month. For many, their mood is low and life seems to take on an extra struggle. There can be many factors for this, and I won't go into them now. And forgive me if you're the exception and you're on some mountaintop of blessing at the moment. This sermon, however, is just as relevant for you. For it's a hard truth in life, whether you're a Christian or not, in that life is always trying to pull you down. That is the normal human experience from the day of the fall and from when sin entered into our world in the Garden of Eden. But if you've been a Christian for any period of time, you will be aware of the ups and downs of the Christian life. We experience times when we feel the closeness of the Holy Spirit. And other times, it's as if God isn't there at all. And this isn't something new. If you look at the Psalms, David often talks about this. Here's a verse from Psalm 30. This is David. This is what he said. Lord, when you favoured me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. So this week, we're going to try to understand the nature and the purpose of the wilderness experience. How have we got there? Why are we there? The why. We are there, so to speak. Next week, we'll look at what we should do if we are there, if we find ourselves in this desert place. Our attitudes. What should our attitude be? What should be our response be? And the final week, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll look at how we may come out of that wilderness experience, and how we may come out changed and renewed, more like Jesus from the experience that we've gone through. Can I say, to begin with, you have to be a Christian to understand these spiritual truths I'm talking about this morning. The truth is, if you're not, you will only have a short-term view. It's all about this life. if you're not a Christian. Adversity and difficulties. If you don't believe in life beyond the grave, has no significance at all. What I want to say as well at the outset is God is with you, whatever season you're in. You have to remember and keep in mind that nothing in our life is purposelessness. Purposelessness. Say it to me, Peter.
Purposefulness.
Is that right?
Purposefulness.
I have neither. Everything for us as Christians has meaning, has value. Even our wandering in the wilderness. It's not our final destination to be in the wilderness. It's not our home. And God has good plans for us in every place he leads us. Even in the desert, there is grace in the wilderness. We have to remember as well, the wilderness is a place of opposites, a place of negative and positive things. It's never just about loss, but also about gain. A failure to grasp that is our downfall and our misunderstanding when we're in the wilderness. In reality as well, in life, deserts and wilderness places are not just barren, dry, sandy, waterless areas, but in many cases, they're just the opposite. There are many deserts where pastures, vegetation, and abundant life survives and even blossoms there in the desert. And the contrast between the difficulties and the blessings in the wilderness is perfectly summed up in Deuteronomy 8:11 and 14-16, where God leads the Jews, the nation of Israel, through a wilderness experience. This is what it says. And this is God speaking to the nation of Israel. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid land with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from the flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble and test you, and in the end, to do you good. Can you see the negatives and the positives from those verses? God was testing them, leading them, but he was also meeting their need along the way. And in the end, it did them good. Let us keep that in mind. A desert or wilderness experience can do us much good if we trust God through it. So let's consider four purposes as an encouragement to endure, trust, and wait on the Lord. Firstly, though, before we get into the spiritual, let's consider the natural. Feeling low and out of sorts, or just not feeling our usual self, can have a perfectly natural cause. There's always a danger that we can think everything has some deep spiritual significance. I personally get periods where I feel low, down, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs of life. My mood goes up and down. This is just the normal rhythms of life. Sometimes it may be just our personality, the stresses of life, our circumstances, feeling unwell, our own health that can bring us into a low mood and low sense of well-being. Or it can be the side effects of some medicines we're taking. What I'm saying is we have to keep a balance in all this. We are spiritual beings, but we are all subject to the downward spiral of sin and decay in our world, and bodies that are weak and getting older. So firstly, there may be not any real spiritual significance to how you're feeling at the moment. It may be just natural causes. However, you can be sure, if God wants to teach us something, he often leads us into a solitary place to learn it. We have to remember as well that Jesus was tested in the desert, in the wilderness. But get this truth, it was the Holy Spirit that led him in there, not the devil. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. In Matthew 4, verse 1 says this, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Often we think we are under attack. The devil is at us. That he's bringing me down. But we have to constantly remember that the devil and Satan is a created being. He can only do what God allows him to do to us. God allows things to happen to us for our good. And nowhere is this more true than when we are in the wilderness. It's precisely when Christians make wrong judgments about their wilderness and desert experience that they miss the purpose of it. They miss why they're in there by not recognizing it is a place of the Holy Spirit's leading. So what are some of the other reasons we may be in the wilderness? Well, it might be a time of preparation. The obvious example of this was, as I said earlier, Jesus. He was led into the wilderness. He was tempted by the devil. He stood on the word of God. It was all part of his preparation before he came into his ministry. If he didn't pass the test in the desert and in the wilderness, he could not have gone to the cross. God was preparing him. God the Father was preparing him. It could be for you that God is preparing you for something that you are not strong enough to go through now. But the lessons you learn in the wilderness will equip you for that future event. And the scriptures say much about preparation. 1 Peter 1:13 says this, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The scriptures tell us to prepare for the end times persecution. Prepare for our own death. They tell us to prepare to stand before God on Judgment Day, to prepare to give an account for the hope that's in you. It's everywhere in Scripture. Be prepared. And we can't prepare when we're busy or things are going well for us. There is no need to prepare. And we don't have the motivation anyway in that place to prepare. We often prepare in a quiet place, a place of reflection, a place where we're in desperate need, a desert place. That's where we prepare. And that's where God is preparing us. Secondly, we can end up in the wilderness through our own sin and wrong choices. You see, God loves us so much, He won't allow us to drift away from Him. But what He will do is withdraw His presence from us for a time to make us see the error of our ways. And if we are actively entertaining sin or practicing a sinful lifestyle, His hand of discipline will come down graciously but heavy upon us. Hebrews 12, verse 7 and 8 says this: endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters of the living God. I heard a woman once, a Christian, who got caught up in an adulterous relationship and all their hair fell out. God can do whatever He wants to with us if we're taking the wrong path. And He does it to show us that we are His children. He will not let us go down a path if we are truly His. He will bring His hand of discipline upon us. So be aware of falling into the hands of the living God, who is a jealous God for us and jealous for our own well-being. Read the story of Israel. Their history is one of falling into disobedience, then God bringing them into the wilderness because of that disobedience, bringing them into captivity. And then when they cried out and repented, He rescued them. He brought them back. Doesn't that show God's great love for us? Thirdly, we may be getting too attached to our comforts and losing sight of our first love. And we can end up in the wilderness because of that. God has not brought us into the desert to starve us, but to make us realize we do not live by bread alone. It's not in some land of plenty, but in the barren place where we see that it is by the blood and His blood alone that saves us. And sometimes we need to get back to basics and realize what this Christian life is all about. It's all about Him. In the book of Revelation, the warning to the church at Ephesus says this: yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Sometimes God can lead us into the wilderness to expose what is really going on in our hearts. John Piper says this: our seasons of lack do not create the cancer that comes out of us. They expose what is already there, but it's hidden by abundance. And in God's kindness, he puts our idols in plain view so that we might see them, hate them, and give them a desert grave. There is a hymn which runs. It says this: the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. And often in the wilderness, it is a place of repentance. It exposes our real motives and attitudes. And when that happens, there is only one of three things we can do. When our sin is exposed within us and it comes to the surface, there is only one of these three things we can do. We can either suppress it, that's bury it, or deny those sins. We can either express it, that's give vent to it, our anger and all the consequences of that, or we can confess them, bring them into the open, and ask God for forgiveness and healing. That is what God wants us to do. He reveals our sin and what's really in our hearts so that we may confess it, bring it into the open, go to him and say, I'm sorry. I turn away from that. I turn around from that. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And finally, sometimes we can end up in the wilderness simply because we run out of steam. God lets us get to the end of ourselves. He shows us we cannot do this Christian life in our own strength. We are exhausted. Elijah the prophet, having destroyed all the Baals, ended up in the desert, exhausted under a tree. This is what it says in 1 Kings 19. Then Elijah lay down under the bush and went to sleep. An angel came to him and touched him. The angel said, get up and eat. Elijah looked around, and by his head there was a cake that had been baked over the coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then went back to sleep. He was restored in the desert. But he got to the end of himself. Just carrying on in that verse, it says, later the Lord's angel came to him again, touched him and said, get up and eat. If you don't, you will not be strong enough to make the long trip. God feeds us in the wilderness so that we may continue on the long journey of being faithful to him. Sometimes the wilderness is a place God restores us after we've run out of strength and energy and the will to go on. So there we have it. There's some reasons we may be in this dry and barren place, this wilderness. Next week, we'll look at how we should react when we're in there, our attitudes and our right response. But let us remember this great lesson. God will never leave us or forsake us, whether we are on the mountaintop or whether we're in the wilderness valley. The truth of Romans 8:28 will prevail and sustain us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Amen. Okay, folks, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your great love for each one of us. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what we go through or where we are, you are with us. You are with us in our own circumstances, our own wildernesses, Lord, and you are working out your purposes for good. We thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign, you are in control. And Lord, we pray and ask this day that you would help each one of us to remain faithful to you wherever we are, to put you first in our lives, every day, every moment. And we know one day we will see you face to face. There will be no more tears, no more heartache, no more wildernesses. Lord, we will see you face to face and be complete. And we look forward to that day, Lord, when we can be with you. But for now, we thank you for your love and your faithfulness to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. So, we're going to have our final song, which is In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone. That's what I've been saying.